when they take the magic distance as again,
yeah,
they
so
all
what?
Convert, they all convert. Maybe have them confused with somebody else.
Okay, there's a sugya here that I wanted to touch on with you.
Your class starts right now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the pages that you can take and. See. I don't know, hopefully, there should be
pages.
Actually two pages.
Okay.
Steve, are these in order? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a Gemara here on Daf Ches Amud Aleph in Brochos that touches on the following issue. And that is...
This is in Brochos.
Yeah, Brochos Daf Ches Amud Aleph. I'm going to try to show you the Gemara inside. My dichsiv oev Hashem esharet Zion mikol mishkenos Yaakov. So let's see if we can find that. Oops, on Daf Ches Amud Aleph. I would say it's about maybe 15 lines from the bottom of the page.
Okay.
Omar Rav Chisda. So the Gemara is darshaning a pasuk in Iyov, actually. Just 1 second. No, my mistake. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Yeah, pasuk in Tehillim. And the pasuk says that God loves the gates of Zion more than he loves Mishkados Yaakov. So we'll try to figure out what is Shari Zion and what's Mishkanos Yaakov. So Rav Chisda says that Shari Zion is called Sha'orim HaMetzuyonim BeHalocha. Okay, what does that mean? That means these are the gates and the base medrash we go into in order to study halacha. Okay. And what's mikol Mishkanos Yaakov? So Mishkanos Yaakov is a reference to the Beis HaKnesses. Right? That's called a Mishkan. It's sort of like a miniature Beis HaMikdash. So if I were to ask you the following question based on this statement of Rav Chisda, which is greater, the sanctity of a synagogue for prayer or the sanctity of a Beis Medrash for the study of Torah? What does this pasuk seem to indicate the way Rav Chisda interprets it? What would be your answer?
Where are you reading? I'm sorry.
Well, let me just get the answer to my question, then I'll tell you where. We're in the Gemara on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, because we like to see the Gemara before we study it, whenever possible. So what would you say? I mean, you know, there's a 50-50 chance you get the right answer here. Which is greater? He says that God... Well, the Beit Midrash. Excellent. Because God loves the Shi'orim HaMetzuyonim BaHalacha more than he does the synagogues. Okay, then? And then, the Gemara tells us, Hayinu di'omar Rav Chiya bar Ami mishmei de'ula miyom shechar beis HaMikdash, from the day in which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Emo LaKadosh Baruch Hu Bolomo Ela Arba Amos Shel Halacha Bilvad. So the Beis HaMikdash was a place that was obviously dedicated for tefillah, for prayer, or for karbonos, which is also the avod of tefillah. They're all the same. And yet, God now has, so to speak, a replacement for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Makom Tefillah, and he's got Arba Amos Shel Halacha, the place where we study the Torah. So if let's say, you know, the Gemara Megillah is going to have a whole discussion, we're not going to go into that now, whether you're allowed to sell a synagogue for a Beis Medrash, or sell a Beis Medrash to make it into a synagogue, and there's a principle of Maila Mekodesh, Lo Morina Mekodesh, it would seem that you'd be allowed to sell a Beit HaKnesset for the sake of a Beis Medrash, because you're going up a Madrega in Kedusha from Tefillah to Torah.
Talmud Torah.
Right, Keneged Kulam. Excellent, excellent. That's really the punchline here of Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. Now let's say, for example, you were to decide where to pray. You have two options. You could daven in a shul, or you could daven in a beis medrash where you learn. It would seem that it would be better to daven in a beis medrash because that has a higher level of kedusha. Now, what exactly is the sanctity of a synagogue? So on this we have a major machlokes. Some Rishonim identify the kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses as being that of a Beis HaMikdash, which means that the walls of the synagogue are makif, they surround an area that's designated for tefillah, and that gives the entire area and its airspace a kedusha of mechitzos of kodesh, similar to kedushas mikdash. Now whether that's a Doraisa halacha or a Drabon halacha, I don't know. But the Ramban has a different view. The Ramban's view, Beis HaKnesses, is what's called Huktza L'mitzvasa. Right? We have something called Huktza L'mitzvasa. That means if I take an object and I dedicate it for a certain mitzvah, then I'm not allowed to use that object for anything other than that mitzvah. So for example, tzitzis. Once I attach them to my beged, that's called hukta l'mitzvasa. And certainly, if you take a cloth and you designate it for a sefer Torah, or if you take oros and you designate it for a tzuas for tefillin, and there are many, many examples of this concept called tashmishe mitzvah, something that's used for a mitzvah. You're not allowed to use, you're not allowed to enjoy your own benefit, personal benefit from tashmishe mitzvah. So Ramban claims that the status and the sanctity of a Beis HaKnesses is nothing other than, it should be identified with, a Huktza L'mitzvah. So you have designated for the mitzvah of tefillah. That's a Beis HaKnesses. And this you'll see, now Jerry, you asked me which pages, take a look on a page called Ayin Tes, which should be the first page that we got, on the bottom left, where he quotes the Ramban. Now this is a Ramban in Masech de Megillah, and the Ramban, by defining and classifying a Beis HaKnesses as Tashmishe Mitzvah, is going to create a major headache for us. Why? Because we have an opinion in the Gemara Megillah, and the Gemara Yom Bracha seems to reflect that same opinion, that a Beis HaMedrash is greater than a Beis HaKnesses. That's fine. But there's also an opinion that a Beis HaKnesses is greater than a Beis HaMedrash. And although our sugya doesn't seem to accept that opinion, but let's ask ourselves which Kedusha is greater, that of a Beis HaKnesses or that of a Beis HaMedrash. Well, logically, we have to go through what's called Huktza L'mitzvasa. You've designated as and for the purpose of a mitzvah. So here are two areas or two houses. One was designated for Torah and the other for tefillah. And they both come under the halacha of Huktza L'mitzvasa, that was designated for a mitzvah, you can't use it for yourself. Well, which of those two mitzvahs is greater? Tefillah or Torah? So Gershon, you know the answer. Torah is greater because Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. So he says the following. Maya svar, what would be the logic that the sanctity of a Beis HaKnesses, insofar as the Ramban says it was dedicated for the mitzvah of tefillah, why would there be even a havamina? How could there be an opinion that its sanctity would be greater than that of a Beis HaMedrash, where the Huktza L'mitzvah was for a greater mitzvah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Hare mitzvahs Talmud Torah adifa mishar mitzvahs. So now we're on page Pei, and a paragraph that starts Benireh. And what I'd like to do in the next few minutes is just to highlight this paragraph without reading every single word inside. And he says the following, that with regard to tefillah, there's a special halacha called Huktza L'mitzvasa. The Torah says that you don't just stand up and pray. I mean, you want to study Torah, anywhere on the face of the earth is fine. There's no need to designate a specific area. If we have a base medrash, it's because of the ambiance. We can assemble the public. We can have svarim. Everything could be engineered in a very orchestrated, systematic way. But there's no special huktzel in mitzvaso in makom to set up a makom for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But in the mitzvah of tefillah, we have a designated area, and the Torah wants us to designate that area, and that's called the Beis HaKnesses. The Huktzah Mitzvah so reflects the nature of that mitzvah, that that mitzvah cries out, so to speak, I want a dedicated area. And the proof to this is that the Gemara tells us, and the Rambam codifies this, that a person should try as hard as he can to daven in a Beis HaKnesses. The Rambam writes in Perek Ches Milchus Tefillah, Ein Tefillas Nishmas B'chol Eis Ela B'Beis HaKnesses. And the Lecha Mishnah says that the Rambam gives us the impression that even if you're not davening with a tzibur, even if you're davening with the Yechidus, or nine people, you should try to daven in a synagogue rather than daven at home. Why? Because the Torah says that tefillah should take place in a Beis HaKnesses. And what that means is that the mitzvah of tefillah itself is enhanced when it's fulfilled in a Beis HaKnesses, so that the idea of Huktzel Mitzvaso, that I've dedicated this Beis HaKnesses for the purpose of tefillah, that really upgrades the Beis HaKnesses to the level of that kiyum of tefillah b'Beis HaKnesses, which is a separate kiyum. That's what the Torah wants, that we should daven in a Beis HaKnesses. So it could be that according to the Ramban, one man diomer, one opinion has it that a Beis HaKnesses is greater in its sanctity than that of a Beis HaMedrash, even though again both are huktzel mitzvaso, and the mitzvah of the Beis HaMedrash is greater than the mitzvah of the Beis HaKnesses. But nevertheless, he holds that the kedushas Beis HaKnesses is a result of huktzel mitzvaso, because the Torah says you should designate an area for the mitzvah of tefillah. In the case of Beis HaMedrash, all right, you designated it for Talmud Torah, but there's no mitzvah that Talmud Torah requires a kfiyas makom. There's no indication that a person should learn in a Beis HaMedrash. Again, I can give you 15 reasons why you'd want to learn in a Beis HaMedrash, but those are all technical reasons to orchestrate your Talmud Torah and make sure to do it the best way you can. But it's not that the Torah requires designated place for the study of Torah. So since there's a separate halacha in the mitzvah of tefillah, that kiyum mitzvah of tefillah is enhanced when you daven in a Beis HaKnesses, it means that the kedusha of tefillah penetrates into the very walls of the Beis HaKnesses. But in the case of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we never found that you have to learn Torah in a Beis HaMedrash. We never found that if you learn Torah in a Beis HaMedrash, that's superior to Torah that's studied outside the Beis HaMedrash. There's no din of kviyas makom with regard to Talmud Torah. Only in the case of tefillah do we have halacha of kviyas makom, that there should be a special location, and in this case a house of worship, that is dedicated exclusively for the mitzvah of tefillah. But in Talmud Torah, we don't know of such a requirement, and therefore the Beis HaMedrash doesn't have that same level of kedusha as the synagogue. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara in Brachos for a moment. And the Gemara says the following. There's a pasuk, the Ozve Hashem Yichlu. Let's see if we can find it here on Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Oh, here it is. Take a look. Omar Av Huna, etc. Omar Av Ami. Three lines up from the bottom of the Omud. Mai Dichsiv. What is the meaning of a pasuk in Tehillim? Right? What does the pasuk say? The Ozei Hashem Yichlu. Those who leave or forsake or ignore God will be destroyed. So I told you that this is a pasuk in Tehillim, and I stand corrected. The previous Gemara quotes the Gemara in Tehillim, as we mentioned earlier, but now we're up to a pasuk in Yeshayahu and Novi. So the entire pasuk is brought down here in the Torah, and it is v'shever poshim v'chatoim yachtov is v'ozvi Hashem yichlu. So who is this pasuk referring to? Zeh ha-meniach sefer Torah v'yotze. In other words, he leaves behind him the Sefer Torah and he packs out of the shul. Have you ever seen that? No. Okay, that's good. But if you've ever seen something called a Kiddush club, Rachmana Litzlan, what they do is, that instead of going to Kriyas HaTorah, they pack out and they have their schnapps.
During the Torah? I thought it's like between the Torah service and Musaf or something.
Right, that's what it should be. But I'm just telling you, I mean, I don't want you to be shocked if you ever see such a thing, but these are called Ozvei Hashem Yichol, so you don't want to meet these guys. And I know one city on the face of the map where this became a major issue, where the young people were leaving during the service in order to have a so-called Kiddush. And money they had to spend on the best whiskey that, although I'm not a bucky whiskey, but I know how much you can spend on that. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
It's entirely for the purpose of the Tiferet Torah.
Yeah. Rabbi Alfo Nofik Ben Gavra Legavra. However, when one Aliyah ended and they weren't ready for the next Aliyah, maybe they were giving out Kibbudim, Mishaberachs, and so forth and so on, he would run out and come back in for the next Gavra, for the next Aliyah. Boy, Rav Papa, Rav Papa has to find something. Ben Psuka L'Psuka Mal. Can you leave the shul and leave the Sefer Torah behind you between one verse and another verse? Now, how much time elapses between one verse and another? Zippo, am I right? So what does it mean he checked out and he came back in?
Maybe.
No, it's something called Targum. See, we don't have it. I think some Yemenites still have it. But in the old days, after every single verse, they would read the Targum. And that's how they fulfilled the mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra Be'efet Targum, at least the Efet Targum part. So are you allowed to leave the shul and not hear the Targum? And then come back for the next pasuk. Take it. And it comes to no conclusion. So let's put this here on the side for a moment, we'll come back to it in just a minute. And we want to understand what is Rav Papa vacillating about? You know, whenever you see boy Rav Papa, and especially if it ends up with a teiku, you want to know what were the issues. So we're going to now look here on page Pei in a paragraph that starts Venira. And again, I'm not going to read it to you. I'm going to just try to highlight it for you. We had the pasuk V'ozvi Hashem Yichlu, which means that it's a terrible sin to check out of the shul while they're reading the Torah. Why is that so? Pashtus, you would say, that it's a bizoyon, it's an insult to Divrei Torah. I mean, they're reading God's Torah, and where are you? You're running out for whatever purpose? The other way to define it is that it's an insult to the Cheftza of the Torah, meaning the object, the Sefer Torah itself. The Sefer Torah is endowed with Kedusha, a high level of Kedusha, and it's insulting to the Sefer Torah that you're not there to hear its reading. It's almost, my friends, as if the Sefer Torah was a live being, a personality. And we have to be very careful not to insult that personality. If we get up while the Sefer Torah is being read, then that is a violation of Kavod L'Sefer Torah, the cover that we have to the Sefer Torah. And you and I know that the halacha builds a lot around the kavod and the respect that we have to give to the Sefer Torah. We have to cover it with a mantle, and we have to tie it together before we cover it, and we have to be careful to put it carefully into the Aron Kodesh, and we're not allowed to drop a Sefer Torah, etc., etc. Oh. There are two elements of Kedusha here. One is the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah itself, and the other is the Kedusha of the Torah. The Torah is an abstract entity. Now, in this particular presentation, which is some sort of a transmission of Rav Soloveitchik's Torah, he calls this thing a kiddushas cheftza shel Torah. What does that mean? That the Sefer Torah, which is written on klaf, so you have black letters that are inscribed on a klaf, and that klaf is the basis for the Kiddush of Sefer Torah. On the klaf he adds letters, which are called the osios of the Sefer Torah. What is the status of that entity, of that object, which is made up of klaf and dionosios? And the answer is, it's called Gufa de Kedusha. Gufa de Kedusha means it's like a carbon almost. It has inherent sanctity. In fact, once the sanctity is chal on the Sefer Torah, then even the gilyonos of the Sefer Torah have to be treated with special respect. The gilyonos meaning even those areas where there are no osios. For example, there's halacha of lishma in Ibud, that when you prepare the klaf by doing a tanning process, you have to have in mind that you're doing it specifically for the sake of creating a Sefer Torah. And that again is called Gufa de Kedusha. So that's one way of learning this whole idea that a person is extremely guilty when he leaves the Sefer Torah, that's Meniach Sefer Torah V'yotze, and he is undermining the Kedusha Sefer Torah. By the way, before we spoke about the Beis HaKnesses, which Kiddush would be greater, a Beis HaKnesses or a Sefer Torah, according to what we're saying here? Sefer Torah, because when we spoke about the Beis HaKnesses, the Ramban's view was quoted that it's Tashmishei Kedusha, which means it's Huktzah L'mitzvah, so that's Tashmishei Kedusha. A Sefer Torah is a higher level, it's called Gufa de Kedusha. It's not something that I use in order to fulfill God's mitzvah, but there's inherent kedusha in the fibers of the Sefer Torah.
I always wonder why they call it an Aron HaKodesh. You know, like the closet that in which you put the Torah is called Kodesh. But
I would say that according to the Ramban, the Aron HaKodesh is really what we call Huktzah L'mitzvah. So the only thing, it's a one notch higher than Huktzah Mitzvah, so because it's Huktzah L'gufa de Kedusha. You follow what I'm saying? So for example, if I designate these strings for my tzitzis, that's only Huktzah L'mitzvah. But if I designate a klaf for tefillin, that's already, or for Sefer Torah, that's already Huktzah L'gufa de Kedusha. And it has now inherent sanctity that goes way beyond the mitzvah of Tashmishei Mitzvah, Huktzah L'mitzvah.
So does this suggest that you can sell a Knesset to buy a Sefer Torah?
Right. Nothing else? That's what I'm suggesting. Exactly what I'm suggesting. Again, you'd have to go through the sugya in Megillah, which addresses that question explicitly head on. But in theory, I would say that if you accept the Ramban, that the sanctity of a Sefer Torah, of a Beis Knesset, because it was designated for the mitzvah of tefillah, that doesn't shine a candle to a Sefer Torah which has Gufa Kedusha. So you'd be allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for the sake, you'd be allowed to sell a Beis HaKnesses for the sake of buying a Sefer Torah. Again, I'm not passing, I'm just telling you logically.
You can sell a Torah in order for a dowry for a bride, or
But that's only because the person who's buying the Sefer Torah is guaranteed to be Shomer the Kedusha. So I'm not violating the Kedusha by selling the Sefer Torah. All right. Now, in addition to the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah as Gufa the Kedusha, as an object, a physical object, we also have another Kedusha, and that's the Divrei Torah, meaning the reading or the studying of the Torah. That's already more abstract. But that also has Kedusha, because it's Dvar Hashem. These are the words of God. These are the wisdom of God. So therefore, if a person leaves in the middle of davening, while they're reading the Sefer Torah, then he is undermining and forfeiting the kiyum of Divrei Torah, of studying the Torah itself. So in effect, if a person checks out while they're reading the Sefer Torah, he has a twofold avera. On the one hand, he's violating the Kedusha of the Gufa Kedusha of the Sefer Torah, because now the Sefer Torah is being used for its mitzvah and you're checking out. On the other hand, at the same time, he's violating the Kedusha of Divrei Torah, because now that they're reading the Torah, there's Divrei Torah going on and you're packing out, you're leaving. Now, if you're talking about Divrei Torah, does that apply to A but not B, or A plus B? A would be the reading of the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, and we make a bracha when we study the Torah, when we read the Torah, somebody gets an aliyah to the Torah, makes a bracha. That's on the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. And that applies to the Torah Shebichsav. In addition, we have another Torah. What's that called? Torah Shebal Peh. So what's the status of Torah Shebal Peh? And the Nafkamina is going to be Targum. Right? Our Sufik and Rapop. Is Torah Shebal Peh also an entity of Torah? Now you might ask me, well, we're not talking about anything physical, so what difference does it make whether you call it an entity of Torah or not? And the answer is that an entity of Torah cannot be allowed into a Beis HaKiseh or a Beis HaMerchatz. So what would be the law? If I'm reading Psukim from the Torah and I'm doing so in a Beis HaMerchatz, that's for sure also. But what about if I'm studying Torah Shebal Peh? So the answer is, based on a Rambam in Hilchus Kriyat Shema, you'll see this on page Pei Aleph. The Rambam writes in Perek Gimel Hilchus Kriyat Shema, Kol Inyan, this is line 7 I think, Kol Inyan Shehu Midivrei HaKodesh Asil Yomro V'Beis HaMerchatz. When the Rambam says Inyan Shehu Midivrei HaKodesh, does he specify that he's reading Psukim in the Torah inside a bathhouse? It would seem that the Rambam's talking about any Divrei Kodesh. So that word Divrei Kodesh is unqualified, it's stoma, and we should take it unqualified, which means that all of Torah Shebal Peh is prohibited in a Beis HaMerchatz. Now, what's going on here? If Torah Shebal Peh is just some abstract thought, who cares whether I'm thinking those thoughts in a Beis HaMerchatz, where people are naked? But the answer is, Rabosai, that Torah Shebal Peh is not just thoughts in the mind, but it's an entity. It's a living entity, almost. And to bring that entity into a Beis HaMerchatz is prohibited. The Rambam writes, Kisvei HaKodesh kulon perushem ubi ureyem also lisrof osam. So let's say you write down a pirush or a beer on the Torah. You're not allowed to burn that. Why not? Because even Torah Shebal Peh is a chefza shel Torah. So imagine the chutzpah of somebody who would be burning Torah Shebal Peh. You might have said, well, Torah Shebal Peh is only abstract. It doesn't have any status if it's written down. But no, even when it's written down, it takes on the and generates the status of a chefza the Kedusha. Oh. So we would suggest the following, therefore, that in Torah Shebal Peh you have a double Kedusha. You have the Chefza Shel Torah, and you have the insult to the Torah itself, right? Because the Divrei Torah, the Torah content. So now we get to the Sofek of Rav Papa. Are you allowed to leave while the Metargim is being Metargim the Targum? If we assume that the Ozve Hashem Yicholu is because he forsakes the Torah and he's leaving out and he's checking out of a Chafetz Shel Torah, then we would say that that applies even during Targum. But if the Iser is because of the Bizoyan of Gufa the Kedusha, of the Kedusha Sefer Shel Torah, then the Kedusha Sefer Shel Torah would apply to Torah Shebichsav, but not to Torah Shebal Peh. So when the reader is gonna translate the pasuk into Aramaic, that's called Targum. So then you don't have a Chefza Shel Torah anymore. You're not insulting the Sefer Torah. Ima Yisur Chal Mishum Sha Ozev Minya Kedushas Hefta Shel Torah is then Yeshlama di Osolotzeis Bishas Kriyas HaTorah Dafka, but not Bishas Targum Torah. Why? Because we don't have the physical entity of a Sefer Torah to insult in the case of Targum. Everybody with me on that? Mm-hmm. Targum is not going to create a Sefer Torah. Targum is not written down. It's Torah Shebaal Peh. But if we go Mashenkin in name of the Mikra the Osve Numach also Lotzeis the Kriyas Torah Mishum David Bizoyon LeDivrei Torah, then we've already established that Divrei Torah includes not just Torah Shebichsav but Torah Shebaal Peh as well. Now he wants to know, would you be allowed to leave the shul when they're reading the Haftorah? Would that also constitute a violation of Yozvei Hashem Yicholu? And he says the following, it should be totally in the two definitions that we suggested earlier. If the Iser is because it's a Vizayin to the Heftah Shel Torah, meaning the object on which the Torah is written, so that Iser only applies to the five books of Moses. But it doesn't apply to Nevi'im, because Nevi'im don't have the same status of a Heftah Shel Torah with all its sanctity. But if, on the other hand, we'll suggest, we're on the top left column now, that the Iser is because of Bizoyon to Divrei Torah, then Nevi'im would also be included under the Bizoyon of the Heftah Shel Kiddush.
It's sort of like when you do maftir, the maftir
itself would be also, you know, you can't leave during the maftir because that's already insulting Divrei Torah and also the Heftah Shel Torah. But now you're reading the Navi, that's an insult to Divrei Torah, but it's not an insult to Heftah Shel Torah. So what is the nature of this Iser of Osvei Hashem Yichol? Is it insulting Divrei Torah? And it would have a much broader application. It should apply to Nevi'im, it should apply to Targum, even though Targum is only Torah Shebaal Peh, but nevertheless Torah Shebaal Peh is also considered Torah. Or should we say it's an Iser that's more limited to the Heftah Shel Torah, meaning the Sefer Torah itself. And if that be the case, then it doesn't apply neither to the Targum nor to Nevi'im. Okay. Now what I'd like to do, what pages do you have? I just want to make sure, do you have, how far did I give you?
Pay base.
Oh, the last page is pay base. So let's just see, what I'm going to try to do now, anybody have a pencil? I just want to make a note of okay. Yeah, alright. No, because this is not mine. My copy is actually in Harnov. Oh, thanks. I'll be able to hopefully pick it up tomorrow. But what I want to do, if you don't mind a little Torah Shebaal Peh, is a piece about what we call Shivrei Luchos. So now we're going to open up to Ches Amud Beis, and we'll see if we can find the case of Shivrei Luchos. So I'm just going to move this over to here so it doesn't ruin the Gemara here. Okay. So first of all, let's open up to Daf Ches Amud Beis. Okay. So the Gemara says the following: He zaru bezaken sheshachach Talmudo. How do I indicate where this is? Let's see. Just one second. All right, we'll...
What's the first word in the line?
The first word in the line is what? Just one second. You know what? I thought I had found it. Yeah, where is it? What line is that?
It starts with Unso.
Yeah, where is it? What, how far is it down from the top?
A dozen lines down.
A dozen lines down. Okay, good. So that helps us a lot. Thank you, Jerry, very much. Okay. Yeah. So if you have Tosis Ki'ilu, I don't know if that helps anyone. It's sort of like in the middle of that Tosis. So the first word in the line would be Havridin. But that's not the word we're looking for. It's the second word in that line. Hizaru Bezokein Sheshachach Talmudo Machmas Onso. So be careful about how you treat an elderly scholar who has forgotten his learning. Machmas Onso meaning because he was sick and he has abstention. How do you call it?
Dementia.
I think it's also a word, abstention. I don't know. No, dementia. You're right, dementia. Yeah, or in Yiddish we call it Iber Batel. I don't know the different phrases. They're probably different.
Memory lapse, too.
Right. Yeah. Correct. So what's the proof that, after all, he forgot his Torah, so with all due respect, but, you respect a person for his Torah knowledge, he doesn't have that knowledge anymore. He once had that knowledge. And the answer is, the Amrinen Luchos v'shivre Luchos Munachos bi'aron. Right, there were two sets of luchos, the first of which were broken by Moshe at the time of the eagle. And that first set of luchos, although it's broken into bits, is kept in the Aron.
Yes.
And Rashi tells you how you know this, about eight lines down from the top. Rashi says, the chsiv asher shibarta v'samtem ba'aron. So immediately after it says the words asher shibarta, it says v'samtem ba'aron, meaning collect the broken chips and put it into the Aron. Af hashvarim tosim bi Aron.
They still have Kiddush.
They still have Kiddush, exactly. So I'm just going to share with you a little bit about Per, about the fact that in general, we talk about two different types of Kiddushos. And this applies specifically to the Luchos HaBris. One is Kiddushos HaGuf Midin Klei Migdash. What do we mean? That if you have a utensil that's designated for use in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's called the Kli Shares, that utensil gets sanctified to the level of Kedushas HaGuf. And Kedushas HaGuf is something that no way, no how could you ever transfer. There's no pigeon in Kedushas HaGuf. The other dimension of the Luchos is what's called Kedushas Sefer Torah. In other words, it has words, letters, words, it conveys meaning. And in the case of Shivrei HaLuchos would be an interesting case, because to say that it has words that could be read as Torah and therefore it has the Kedusha of like the example of Sefer Torah, that's difficult to say, because once it's broken into its chips and you can't understand it, it doesn't have at this point the Kedusha of Sefer Torah. So now we have to ask ourselves, why did Hashem command Moshe to take the Shivrei Luchos and put it into an Aron? The answer is that in addition to the Kedusha of Sefer Torah, you have a Kedusha called Kedusha HaGuf. So for example, let's say you had a Sefer Torah and it's impossible to read it. It would literally be falling apart. And the letters are so weak.
Apostle Torah.
It would be possible, so that Kedusha Sefer Torah would be gone. Again, there are other dinim that might apply to it, but it's not Kedusha Sefer Torah. But when we talk about Shivrei Luchos, we're talking about Gufa the Kedusha. It has a din like a Kli Shares in the Beis HaMikdash. And we know this from the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Yud Mehilcha Sefer Torah says the following: Mitzvah liyached l'sefer Torah makom. You designate a specific place for the Sefer Torah. L'chaved oso makom. And we give a lot of cover. This is what we call the Aron Kodesh. Lahadro Yosef Midai. He should keep, glorified on a high pedestal as much as you possibly can. And then he writes, Dvarim Shebeluchos HaBris, Hein Hein Shebechol Sefer Usefer. So the Rambam, when he talks about the din of covered Sefer Torah, he mentions, or he gives the analogy of Luchos HaBris. It means that the Luchos HaBris have the sanctity of a Sefer Torah. And just like a Sefer Torah has to be designated, you have to have a special place, an Aron to designate where you put the Sefer Torah, so too the Rambam says you have to designate an Aron for the Luchos HaBris. But if you're talking about Luchos HaBris as a Sefer Torah, and every Sefer Torah is like Luchos HaBris, That's only as long as you can as it functions, as long as you can read it and study it, and then it has the kedusha of a sefer Torah. The purpose of a sefer Torah is to read the sefer Torah. If you can't read it, then it's not kodesh. But what we have in the Luchos, in addition to the Kedusha Sefer Torah, we have a Kedusha Saguf. How do I know this Kedusha Saguf in the case of Shivei Luchos? Where do we have to keep the Shivei Luchos? In the Aron. And we said the reason that in Sefer Torah you need an Aron because of the Kedusha Sefer Torah. We said that Luchos HaBris, as long as they're intact, they have the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah, they need an Aron. But when they're broken, why do they need an Aron? I mean, that's not Kedusha Sefer Torah. The answer is because it's a Kedusha Guf. And Kedusha Guf is never invalidated. It's never voided. He says the following, that Mishnah Nishtabru Aluchos Paka Mehem Kalos Kedusha Sefer Torah. It would be like a Sefer Torah that's incomplete. But the luchos, even though they're broken, they still maintain the kedusha saguf, because the inherent kedusha in the guf of the luchos is lo paka mechdi. You can't remove that, and it has sort of a similar loch to kodshim shemesu. Like, let's say you have a behemas kodesh that was the mizbeach, and then it could no longer be brought to the mizbeach. It still has kedusha to it, so a chalos kedusha saguf continues even after the luchos were broken. Oh. If that be the case, then we can suggest that Shivrei Luchos becomes the paradigm for a Zaken Sheshachach Talmudo Machmas Onso. In what sense? He says, Af B'Talmud Torah, through the study of Torah, there's a Chalos Kedusha Saguf. You hear this, my friends? This is really wild. This is a revolution of sorts. He says, Limud HaTorah Mekadesh says, Gufo Shel Adam HaLomed, that the person himself becomes like a Sefer Torah, or more than that, he becomes like Luchos. He becomes sanctified with Kedushas HaGuf. So again, it's not that he has knowledge. You know, that would be like a kind of Sefer Torah halacha, that, you know, you could read from the Sefer Torah, you can get knowledge from this scholar. Forget about his knowledge for a moment. He already acquired Kedushas HaTorah as a Kedushas HaGuf once he studied the Torah. Because the study of Torah engenders in a person a Kedushas HaGuf. And therefore, Shivrei Luchos is a perfect paradigm for a Zakei Cheshachach Talmudo Machmas Onso. Because in both cases, when you have as a Kedush Saguf, Velo Bechti Paka, it doesn't remove itself at all. Okay. Let's just see what time. Alright. So I think we'll stop here and I'll make a note of where we got up to.
Beautiful,
right. And a tremendous amount of respect that we have to have for Shivrei Luchos. There are a number of people that I know that fit into this category, unfortunately. I'm sure you know many, and we knew many more in our youth, especially people who came out of the Holocaust. Many of them, you know, just broke down and they forgot their Torah. Some of them, unfortunately, were no longer observant of the Torah, but that Kedusha Saguf is low paka. You know, we still have to respect them. Okay, then? So thanks for joining me for today. Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, if you're with me, for these two shiurim, or I know Jerry Monday is not good for you, but I would like to add Sanhedrin Be'iun. That would be at 10:30, which would be at more or less at this time tomorrow. So stay tuned, because I want to learn Sanhedrin on a deeper level.